بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. The last time we had begun the discussion on debts, qarz. Person has debts he has to pay as qarz upon himself. Arabic you say deen, that a person owes people money but no intention to repay it. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has sounded warnings in regards to taking debts upon oneself, that a person should be very, very, very careful, very cautious. That if he has to, there is times in Sharia when a person is permitted to take a debt, to borrow money from someone, when there's a need, dire need, and also he has a plan of repayment also. Not just that a person takes the debt, but has no plan to repay it. This is a grave warning for such a person. Among the warnings we had mentioned previously, that once a janaza was brought before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he could perform the salatul janaza upon that sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was a sahabi. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked, does he have any debts? The janaza is lying there before Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen. But then he asked this question, this sahabi right now, does he have any debts upon him? When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum replied in the affirmative that he did have debts, he owed people money, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remarked, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited me from performing salatul janazah on one who has debts. This was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that among Sahaba radiallahu anhum, anyone in Madinah Munawwara who had debts, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was prevented from performing the salatul janazah. The debtor is held back in the grave. That is, the person who has debts upon him, he has qarz upon him, when he goes into the qabr, into the grave, he hasn't paid for it, then the bounties of Jannah will be held back from him. When a person now, when his flight is delayed, or there's a delay in something, the anxiety he goes through, here he heard about the bounties of Jannah, but he has been prevented from enjoying the bounties of Jannah. Person goes all the way somewhere to enjoy an afternoon of the family. When he goes there, we're just closing up. Came from so far. Give us 5 minutes at least. We closed, sorry. But still 5 minutes left, 10 minutes left. We're closing early today. The anxiety person goes through. We came all the way. Here the janazah, the mayyit came all the way to the qabr, heard about the bounties of Jannah, but not allowed to enjoy the bounties of Jannah. Amongst the enjoyments of the bounties of Jannah in the qabr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down for him from Jannah the silken bedding of Jannah, where he will relax and enjoy himself. And Allah will open unto him the windows of Jannah, where he can see the entertainment of Jannah. That itself, we know, when it comes to our dunya life, all people enjoy the big screen. One is going to go for the holiday, and one is browsing online. Just browsing online, that is enjoying to see what facilities they have there. When he goes, the enjoyment is even more than that. So here even the browsing time will be cut out. You can't even see the pleasures of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala save us. So the debtor is held back in the qabr, in the grave, from the boundaries of Jannah until his debts are cleared. One point to remember, my dear brothers, when we talk about qarz and debts, usually we regard this to be some business account, business debt, or I purchased a vehicle, or some property, or borrowed from some family member. Many times it happens that I borrow from the wife also. Person had a hard time in the beginning of his marriage, he borrowed from the wife. Sometimes he sold her jewelry. And he regards it, he says, ours, aproche, is yours and mine. The jewelry I gave you, but it's ours. No, in Sharia there's no ours. What's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. I borrowed from the wife some money of hers. Oh, sometimes we have, before it was very common, when it comes to meher and dowry, the nikah books also, we have the cash or deferred. Deferred like a debt it is. So here the person might say, tell the girl's family or party that the meher will be a certain amount, so half payment will be cash, other half will be deferred and a debt. Then he tells her, I'll pay you, don't worry. And as we say commonly, who's running away? I'm not running away, we're here together. So I will pay you, that is a debt upon him. But he takes that to be light sometime, I owe the wife some money. But it's still a debt upon him. Until she doesn't forgive it, then in the qabr also he'll be held back. Because you might think, it happens so commonly, somebody asked the other day, that my wife has gold. I pay for the zakat because it's mine. I said, is that yours? That gold, you give it to her at nikah time? He said, yes. But I keep it with me. So I pay the zakat. I said, you can pay the zakat, put it in your tijori, in your safe box. But it belongs to her, zakat, she's liable for it. If you are paying for it, then it's your kindness upon her. But that belongs to her. So when it comes to debts also, a person borrowed. Sometimes the children, they had some savings in their accounts. And father fell on hard times. So he took from their account sometime. They have the money from Eid. During Eid somebody gives them. Then he says, I'm just borrowing from the children's money. But never replaces it. That too falls under the same category. He took a debt. He borrowed the money, but he hasn't repaid it. He also important point to mention, speaking about children's wealth, etc. When children are young, they're babies, a lot of people give hadiah. They give gifts. They give some clothing or something. So they say for babies so and so. According to Sharia, the clothing or those toys, etc. belongs to the baby. Is it permissible now to take that clothes or that toy to give it to any other child? That becomes the possession of the baby. Many mothers don't know this, they keep it aside. The baby outgrows that certain garment or clothes, and then the mother gives that garb or that clothing to her sister's child to use it. Is that permissible? Because that belongs to the child. If it was done before, then the parents, the mother or the father should calculate that how much of this child's clothing or toys, whatever it was, you gave away. Put a value to that and put that amount of money in the account of the child. It's also a debt, so to say. That is why we advise, if anyone is giving anything for a newborn baby, they make the intention that in reality, this clothing or these toys, whatever it may be, is given to the mother. The mother, it belongs to you, you can make the child wear it. We can allow the child to use this toy. Sometimes the bicycle, grandparents will buy it. Who is it for? Is it for the child? Or is it for the mother or for the father? Easiest thing, make it for the mother. It belongs to you, it's your property. We can allow the child to use it. Sometimes the child will fight, nobody must use my bicycle. And then we fight with the child, but let the neighbor's children use it. It belongs to him, he can do what he wants with it. Belongs to the parent, then the parent can dictate, can give targhib, encourage the child, and share with somebody. So these things are very fine points, you should take note of it. So anybody does bring any hadiah for the children, any even food items also. We brought this for the children, who is it for? Then the need should be is for the mother. The mother, when they give the child, it belongs to the child. Sometimes the sweet is not, when it comes to the health of the child, is not conducive for his health. But now it belongs to him. How long do we keep the sweet? So if the mother feels, the father feels, that we don't want to give the child a certain sweet, take it away. That amount, the value of that sweet, put it in the account of the child, 10 rand, 20 rand. So you purchased it from the child at a fair price, and then you put the money to the account of the child. So the debtor is held back in the grave from the boundaries of Jannah until his debts are cleared. Another hadith states, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A janazah was brought so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could perform salah upon the janazah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, does your companion, this is your sahabi radiallahu anhu, have any debts? When the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum replied in the affirmative that he did have debts, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what benefit will you derive if I perform salah on a man whose soul is detained in his grave and cannot rise to the heavens? The ruh doesn't go to the heavens because of his debts. If someone takes responsibility for his debts, I will stand and perform salah over him, then my salah will benefit him. But this was the habit of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he would ask Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that who will take over the debts of certain Sahabi. So therefore we encourage also Salatul Janazah takes place, before that make ilam, make announcement, if anything is owed to certain, to this marhum, then please contact the family members. Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from kufr and debts. A person asked, Ya Rasulullah, do you regard kufr and debts to be equal? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghrami. Sunnah dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Wallah, I seek refuge in you min al-ma'tham, ithm, sin. from sin, this is a heavy sin, major sins, while maghrabi and heavy debts. So a person asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Rasulullah, do you regard kufr and debts to be equal that you are mentioning them together? He replied, yes. Kufr and debts, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam regarded both as a major sins. Just to take debts and have no plan to pay it. Allah Ta'ala save us from debts. Allah Ta'ala give us plenty of halal sustenance. Not to forget also, my dear brothers, today is the day of Jumu'ah, to increase our Durood Sharif. And a beautiful point ulama explained regards to Durood Sharif is that we love to receive gifts, hadiyas from people. So Allah Ta'ala commanded us in Quran Sharif, send Durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a gift to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned also, tahaddu tahabbu, exchange gifts, it creates love and muhabbat. Some ulama say that when you make the intention on the day of Jumu'ah, that, oh Allah, I am sending this durood as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, exchange gifts. Give one another gifts. Somebody gives you, then you also give that person a gift. It's also sunnah. And this will create mutual muhabbat, apasim muhabbat peda karegi. So we make the niyyah, Ya Allah, the day of Jummah, we're sending this hadiyah and gift to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What the effect will be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will send for you gifts also. And the love will be created. And this ulama explained also, the day of Jummah, the Durood Sharif is a very special amal of Madinatul Munawwara. The special amal of Madinatul Munawwara. They say in the day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the entire world and makes it like Madinah Munawwara. As if on the day of Jumu'ah, you are now encouraged to engage in the amal of Madinah Sharif, that as if you are in Madinah Munawwara today. And you should be spending your day also in Durood Sharif as if I am in Madinah Sharif. If I was in Madinah Munawwara, I would come early to the masjid. I would shock and desire, enjoy the day of Jumu'ah, because the entire world is open today for Madinah Munawwara as if you are there today. Allah Ta'ala take us over again, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.